A weak solidarity bricky team listener when Big Supremo Anthony Albing Uzi solemnly celebrated on a train killing in the Merchants of Death Best We Forget Day, telling us we want no more deaths and lives destroyed by trained killing, achieved through policies aimed at a peace, stability and prosperity in our region. But before I go on, for those who heard this segment last week, there were three possibilities. Either Annie thought the first half so brilliant it was worth hearing twice, odds out of 10 minus 100, or Annie thought it so nonsensical she'd see if our listener could make the slightest sense of it, odds plus 100, or the perils of technology struck and, yeah, probably 10. Back to, how do we achieve all that, Anthony? Peace, stability, prosperity. We are committed to spending trillions on making our very, very, very close friend, the US of the UN of the US of the world's merchants of death, prosperous. 38 million a day on nuclear submarines alone. Peace-loving US of nuclear subs. What things that kill, things that train to kill, how will that achieve peace and stability? It will keep the US of happy. As the wall-to-wall excitement, the coverage of Train Killer Day, True Blue Aussies' values, freedom, prosperity, we're assured, honed through mass slaughter after landing on the wrong beach in Turkey in a military disaster, which may microcosmically represent our values, coverage settles, we can now look forward to mass non-coverage of May Day, unless some overseas May Day celebration turns violent as the police keeping law and order get stuck into the marches, stuck into the celebration, and our media can point out how violent were those workers who so upset the poor coppers. Because class warfare is not real warfare. Like the frontier wars, the resistance and slaughter of indigenous defenders is not real warfare, not real capitalist warfare. Although some might suggest class warfare is also capitalist warfare, exploiting exactly the same pool of cannon fodder. But thankfully, we know that is just plain wrong. Cannot be. Because the barons of the greatest little economic order of them all and their acolytes assure us there is no such thing as class in our classless society, that those who refer to class struggle or class differences at all are guilty of class envy. They're guilty of raising, you know, like class envy. One of the acolytes, caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, would alert us. Ignoring, hard to believe a brilliant man like Pete would ignore anything, but ignoring the minor fact that acknowledging class envy acknowledges there is class of which to be envious. So because there is no class warfare, the class that knows there is no class knows there is no commemoration of class warfare to commemorate. So there is no need to give oxygen to the disruptive fallacies of class struggle perpetuated by lazy avaricious workers and evil unions. Well, some lazy avaricious workers. Thankfully, the esteemed practitioners of the greatest little economic order have convinced much more than some workers that the greatest little has their interests at heart, is there just for them. Which it kind of is, because it wouldn't be there without them. Amid all the celebration of non-class warfare, anniversaries of many a slaughter contributing to our values, the media, the mainstream media that is, couldn't squeeze in a mention of the 10th anniversary of the Rana Plaza tragedy, which murdered and injured thousands of clothing workers in Bangladesh. Another slaughter proving the caring business class argument that there is no such thing as class difference or class struggle. Which explains why 10 years later no one has been charged or punished on the one hand or compensated on the other. See, left to their own devices or lack of, all treated equally in a classless society, free enterprise. And as we glorify train killing, having, for instance, to delay turning on the footy until bounce the ball time to avoid the nauseating pre-game train killer crap, let's contemplate that left, right, left isn't just train killer marching, but reflects many a socialist politician, well, using left pretty loosely, who claim to be left when they seek election, march right as right once elected, hop along on their right foot, then rediscover their left bit, their very limited left bit, when they retire or get thrown out. Like Jenny making the poor poorer, who we are told was on the left as she threw single parents, mostly mums and their kids, onto the poverty scrap heap, and now says they should be returned to where they were before she reduced them to poverty. See? Left, right, left. With, as we say, the proviso, very limited left. And what a nuisance for then-big Supremo Julia Gallinghard that people keep reminding us that Jenny and Julia sold out single mums on the very day Julia made her misogyny speech. Not that the government can afford to go all the way back, nor can it afford to lift dole bludgers out of poverty, as we have to find that 38 mil a day for 30 years for US of subs to protect the US of from evil China, plus all the trillions more on merchants of death merchandise announced this week to ensure peace, stability and prosperity. War is peace. Stability is war. Prosperity is the merchants of death. So the poverty-stricken can feel peaceful, stable and prosperous, knowing their little spot in their favourite gutter will be safe. Well, until the authorities move them on. We also know the NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, is also proving it's straight on the defence budget, but here at least there is good news. Private equity investors are pouring money into the NDIS scheme, sensing an opportunity for outsized returns after profits in the sector rose more than 29% on average every year since 2018. Goody, goody. All that government spending is not going to waste on non-essentials like, well, say, people with disabilities. As one investor gloated, it is an industry that has got a lot of people's attention in terms of sheer spend from the government's $35 billion this year alone, and the market is evolving quickly. See? People with disabilities are an industry, a market, and with the magnificent benefits of the super efficiency of the private sector, isn't it hard to believe costs are exploding? All that, what a silly, silly thought. There could be the odd saving if the government ran the scheme itself, bypassed the private sector altogether. But no, no, that would deprive us of the efficiencies of the market, like the efficiencies the common sense in continuing to imprison and refuse to accept no proper papers, queue-jumping illegal boat people, while announcing a need to attract a workforce. Better to spend a fortune imprisoning and refusing, rejecting, and a fortune attracting. The sheer common sense of the greatest little economic order of them all. And a positive. While the government can't afford to afford the destitute, it can find $240 million to build a footy ground for the business elite to run the AFL. Almost a whole week of nuclear subs. I'm starting to think the caring business class party elements urging no voice for the Terra Nullius people are very, very slow in the brain department, as what seems a most simple and clear statement is anything but to them, with, speaking of the misogynist speech, former big Supremo Tiny a bit more for the bosses putting his bib into the issue this week, bemoaning, there's so much uncertainty, an extension of current Supremo Constable Duffer's, we need more, you know, like, detail. And through his mental haze of uncertainty, Tiny also bemoaned that anyone opposed to it is placed under suspicion of closet racism. Suspicion of closet racism. Well, no, Tiny, not all. But in certain cases, Tiny, it's not closet. It's there for all to see, overt, barefaced. I want to comment on Barry Humphreys. A whole page of lavish praise by Lord Rupert of Wapping's usual suspect columnist bolt through the head, telling us how Humphreys hated political correctness and had declared the one funeral he'd like to attend would be the Human Rights Commission. He listed the people Humphreys hated and set up, and hate to say it, listener, but it seems to take in us. All the more reason why the public purse should pay for his funeral. Exciting news leading up to the big excitement, the big event we're all so excited about, the coronation of our head of state. Madame Tussauds now has a wax dummy of him and her. Truly beautiful. And I thought, wonder what result an IQ comparison between the wax and real versions would turn up. Can't wait to admire all that trained killer paraphernalia the doll-bludging family turns up in on these truly important occasions. Finally, we mentioned last week how Lord Rupert's media outlets highlighted another filthiest rich of Elon must make money, publishing lies and disinformation, but not a word of Lord Rupert himself paying out the biggest defamation settlement ever for lies and disinformation, suggesting for a week or two at least he might just shut up. But no, this week the Wapping Sin reported one of the USOB's biggest media companies, NBC Universal, announced its chief, Jeff Shell, has left his job after a complaint about his conduct. Then, the misconduct scandal is the latest to occur at the top of corporate America. They include the departure of bosses such as Steve Easterbrook, the Briton who headed McDonald's, and the founder and former boss of Uber, Steve Travis Kalanick. But Lord Rupert readers would still have no idea of his own record hush money payment. But of course, there's a big difference. No one at Foxy or at News Very Limited has resigned. Lies and disinformation, business as usual. Oh, and I'm sure Lord Rupert would love to join in wishing all of us a happy May Day. Good morning.